Welcome to AudioMotivation.com again. I'm Andy O'Brien. Today we're with Paul Bauer. He's an abundance and creativity expert from DreamsAlive.com. I'm sure you've heard of him. Paul's the president and founder of Dreams Alive and has been helping people for over 15 years to discover and live their passions, their purpose, and uncover their hidden abundance. Many of you have already heard of Paul, I'm sure. I shared actually a message about him a few weeks ago in an email. He has a powerful program called Creating Abundance that helps you discover what stops true abundance and prosperity from flowing naturally in your life. It helps you clear the unconscious limiting belief that stopped the flow and manifest and attract the success and results you want most in your business and your personal life. Paul has helped over 100,000 people in over 70 countries to rediscover their inner magic and turn it into real results. And soon he'll be coming out with the Clear Mind Meditation Program. Paul Bauer, welcome to Audio Motivation.
Thanks, Andy. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Paul, what stops the flow of abundance and prosperity in our lives? I think our members would love to know that.
Well, people have a tendency to think of outcome only. In other words, that they want the goals, and I may be a little different than some of the people that you've interviewed. I'm not a goal-setting person. When you get caught up with goals, you end up thinking, you end up sending a signal to your subconscious that you don't already have something. And with the study that you and your readers or your listeners have been doing about subconscious, I don't know how deep they have, but whatever signals you send to your subconscious, they get picked up. If the signal is, I don't have it, the subconscious will continue to create that energy on a constant basis. The thing that stops people from having the abundance they want in their lives is thinking that they don't have it already. And it's a cause set in motion. In other words, that becomes their origin thought. We can talk more about the origin thought as we go today, but that's the basics of it. In other words, it's like telling your children, we don't have any, we don't have enough, and then telling them to go out and work. And if they keep coming home even though they've made it, and the family keeps saying to them, we don't have enough, you know how the kids feel. And it goes right into their subconscious mind. That's the essence of what stops the flow, is the origin thought itself, that we don't have enough.
Now, can you tell us maybe, how do we know if we have that not enough effect?
All you have to do is look at your life and ask yourself how you feel. Look around in your life and say, do I feel abundant? Do I have the abundant surroundings that I know I deserve? The second question is, am I feeling the way I want to feel? In other words, do I feel like I'm really contributing to society or mankind? Do I feel like when I wake up in the morning that I know that I do create my day? And if not, then you know that the not enough effect is kicked in. And the not enough effect essentially is, no matter what it is that you're trying to create, there is a feeling of, or a belief that there isn't enough, that there's scarcity, that that you believe in lack at some level. I'm not talking consciously, Andy. I'm talking unconsciously. That's where all these patterns kick in. There's an interesting quote in U.S. I believe it was U.S. News and World Report back in February of this year, actually February of 2005, and it says, your unconscious is making your everyday decisions. Now, that's something to really stop and think about. We know the unconscious or the subconscious mind is very powerful. To understand what that really means and to find out what your patterns are, in other words, what your core beliefs are, what your limiting beliefs are, is a whole other thing. So when you tune in and find out, okay, if I look at my environment, if I check in on my feelings and I find out, A, no, I'm not feeling the way I want to feel, and B, the abundance is not flowing in my life, I know that I have subconscious limiting beliefs. In other words, the not enough effect has a grip on me to some extent. How bad, we don't know yet. You know, just depends on how long you've been going through it, and how long you choose to be in that state. Those are some of the basics of it. We can go into a lot greater detail if you want.
Well, yeah, and I think we'll be touching on some of the other factors during the course of the interview, because I'm thinking there's so much more to this, and I know that that there is. And I think as I'm listening to you say this, it occurs to me that the word resistance is a huge thing, because it always seems to pop up when people are getting closer to achieving their dreams, and something always seems to kind of get them back. You know, the old term, one step up and two steps back kind of thing. And
yes.
And is that part of this? I mean, how do you describe, you know, the reasons that happens?
You're asking, is resistance a huge part of this?
Right.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The question is, I mean, for those of you that have studied what resistance is really about, it is other than, let's say, source energy, okay? In other words, whatever you call creator, you know, God, universe, the essence of who you really are does not depend in the world of form, okay? So if you look at the world of form, in other words, the money, the house, the job, you know, the status, etc., all those things are outside of you. When you pay attention to your inside, that's the world of cause, then you can really determine, A, based on, again, that question, how am I feeling, okay? I mean, let's decide to just weave that through today's conversation, because if that's all you ever ask yourself, you'll know that you're checking in on yourself and you're coming back into the present moment.
Okay.
So if a person does check in and says, okay, how am I feeling, and the feeling is other than peace or love or joy or abundance, they know they've got some level of resistance, okay? In other words, there's a subconscious block of some kind. And again, depending on the state they're in, it may not or it may be a strong element of resistance. One of my favorite quotes, and I'll paraphrase from two different authors, one of them is Greg Lavoie of a book called Callings, is that the degree of resistance that you have in your life, in other words, just how strong it is, and if a person's feeling down, if a person feels like, you know, like no matter what I've tried, it hasn't worked, I feel like the universe is denying me, I feel like no matter what I do, it seems to never work, okay? So the degree that the person's feeling that is the degree of how close they are to making their breakthrough. In other words, something that is elementally huge and important in their soul's evolution.
How do you know, though? I mean, not to interrupt, but I mean, how do you know if it's that or if it's that maybe you weren't supposed to be on that path? You know what I mean? I mean, because a lot of people say the resistance is a sign that you're going in the wrong direction.
That's a good question. My way of answering that is, if you love the concept of what you're working on, that's the answer.
Okay.
If you don't love it, okay, that'll tell you something fast. Now, a person may, let's say a person signs up for a network marketing group, okay, and they went for the cash and only the cash. After a while, their desire is going to drop off if that's the only thing they got involved in it for. If, on the other hand, they got involved because, number one, they loved what the product did for them or service, and two, they loved how it affects other people, that's a very high vibration. For any of you that have studied David Hawkins' Power versus Force book, the high vibrations that he talks about in that book are what I just mentioned, you know, love, peace, joy, feelings of gratitude, etc. When you're in that state, and if you happen to have some resistance here or there, that's just the normal stuff that's going to happen. But the deeper resistance, based on your question, Andy, is really the closer they get to something that is major in their life. In other words, something that is a soul's awakening has to do with the real kind of resistance, not the fake. In other words, just ego stuff that's going through. If they're in the wrong opportunity, if they're down the wrong path, the universe, quote-unquote, is going to show them instances or messages that will tell them that the real key is their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I fully answered your question.
Yeah, you did. That's a great answer, actually, because it makes total sense. Now, Paul, in your Creating Abundance program, you talk about the illusion of scarcity. Could you tell us more about that? What do you mean by it, and how does that apply to people who want to do creative work and get their work out to the world?
Well, the premise that I take in all the things that I teach, whether it be Creating Abundance or Dream Mind or anything, is that scarcity is an illusion, okay? And there's an old quote by William Blake, and it reads, "We've been led to believe a lie, when we see with and not through these eyes. At our most recent seminar, just several weeks ago, I shared that with people. I looked them straight in the eye. I looked at every one of them, and I said, let's just take that quote one more time slowly. We've been led to believe a lie when we see with and not through these eyes. If we see with these eyes, it's based on our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs are based on the past. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that is seeing through the eyes of old conditioning. When you see through these eyes, you are able to see things as they really are. As you really are. You with a capital Y. Okay? And that's source energy with a capital S. In other words, that's how you channel God's energy or Christ energy or Buddha consciousness, whatever it is that you prefer how to describe that. So scarcity is really something that was learned from a young age based on what either our parents or society, in other words, in terms of commercials or friends or school, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as scarcity. There's no lack of oil. There's no lack of sunshine. There's no lack of money. But if a person has been inbred to believe those things, that they are shortages of those, they'll believe it, and it'll show up in their life, in essence.
So that's why people don't have enough money, perhaps, or they don't think they have enough money, things like that, right?
In essence, there's something deep down inside based on an attractor field, and again, that's based on David Hawkins' work. An attractor field is thoughts and feelings that are thought frequently, in other words, habitually over time. If a person has been thinking frequently over time that they don't have enough, that's what creates the not enough in their life. So for those of you that have watched the old movie Wall Street with Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas, there's a question that Charlie Sheen asks Michael Douglas towards the end of the movie. How many yachts can you water ski behind? Okay. There's a point when we have created the goal that we wanted or the intention. Okay. And if you ask yourself, how do I feel now that I've created it? If you still feel unrewarded or that something is missing, you know that you've got the not enough effect going on in your subconscious. That is absolutely huge to understand that and notice it. If all they did was notice it, that's the state of strength of them by itself. Hmm. And I think that's really important to understand right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that you've got to get it. You've got to understand the whole thing, you know, fell swoop. In other words, go to the head of the class. I've got to master this. You know, there's a lot of that. I'll just call it male energy. Okay. In other words, an overemphasis on results and an underemphasis on the essence of it. In other words, how do I feel? Because let's say, Andy, that we gave you $500,000 today, okay, and your goal was getting money. And at the end of the day, if we really asked Andy how he really felt, would it really give you what you really wanted?
No, I think some people, there'd be some confusion there, I would think, right?
Yeah.
You know, some uncertainty of where to go next. You know, what to do with the money, you know, if they didn't have some type of set thing. That's why probably lottery winners don't keep the money, things like that, right? Is it the same concept?
Absolutely the same concept. If we were to take all the problems away from those that are listening today, okay, people would feel naked, literally, okay, because those problems have become part of the identity level of who we think we are. If we took away all the money problems from a person, all the business challenges, all of the personal inner struggles that they're going through, they literally would not know who they are. There are some people that have gone through programs like that back in the 70s and the 80s, and they ended up walking out and doing some very strange things, you know, things that they regret doing because they made those decisions based on a lack mentality and like a void. There was no real meaning in their life. Here's the way I describe it. Many years ago, I was in a sales career selling computers, and I was pretty good at it. I closed the biggest deal I had ever closed in my life, and it was a six-figure deal. And I thought it was the ultimate. And I was celebrating that day, you know, with some of my partners, you know, people that I worked with. And I got home that night, and just before I went to sleep, I was looking up at the ceiling, and there was a feeling in me, and it was like something was missing. And I thought, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, here I am, just, I reached the pinnacle. This is the stuff that I thought I wanted. And if you remember the song, you might be a little young for this, but this is when my parents were in their heyday. There was a song by a singer by the name of Peggy Lee, and it was called Is That All There Is?
Right.
Did you ever hear it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's the feeling I had that night. In other words, why don't I feel more? Okay. I thought this was it. And that's how a lot of people feel on the inside. Even after they've set their goals, even after they've gotten their goals, there's still something missing. That's because if we're caught up in the world of effects, in other words, getting those things on the outside, the money, the house, the car, the big 401k account, etc., that's only one small percentage of what we are capable of creating. The inner world, the world of cause, is something that is far more profound, far more meaningful, and far more abundant when you tune into it.
Is that why you think people hang out in the self-help book section of the bookstore and seem to just, you know, get one and then either act on some of the elements of that one book and then put it aside and go buy another one? You think that's like this perpetual search for true happiness?
Yes, yes. It depends on what they're looking for. I think that most of it comes down to this feeling of not enough. I really do. You know, in working with the tens of thousands of clients that I've worked with over time, even when they have what they want, again, on the outside, it doesn't provide them the meaning. In other words, the spiritual sustenance that we all need. You know, some people go to church for that sustenance. In some cases, it doesn't last for more than that hour that they go. They come out, they start again, they go to work. I'm not ridiculing church in any way. I really respect the faith and traditions that people belong to and believe in. I think it's important, though, is how you channel whatever it is that you love into your normal everyday life. Is it there for you on the inside? That's the key. You know, who are you really? Not defined by your career and all the other things, but who are you really as a spirit? Who are you really as a person? Who do you benefit? How will your life benefit mankind when you're gone? What's the legacy that you're going to leave? You know, that's something that we do in many of our seminars, is we help people find out what is their legacy, what is their life purpose, you know? So what was I brought here to do? How can I be a force for good? How can I channel spirit in some way that adds value, not just to my life, okay? Because that's easy. You know, we get a little self-absorbed. You know what I mean by that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other thing to say, okay, how can I provide value for people on an ongoing basis? So much so, much like the motivational quotes that we've seen many, many times, especially by people like Napoleon Hill, how can I provide equal or greater value to my customers in such a way that they're smiles on their face? If I do that, and I do that consistently, and I really connect with my clients, or my friends, or my family, or myself, I'm living a pretty good life.
So let's bring it around here, and because the people who are listening to this, you know, I think that alone, the fact that they're members of this site and they're looking for the answers in one way, shape, or form, and let's try and harness like all the things that you've been talking about, and how do they take this knowledge now bring it about positively in their own lives. Is there a method, and what advice can you give folks?
Well, first of all, I think everything depends on the way you go to sleep at night and the way you wake up in the morning. Okay, those are the two anchor points, if you will, that steer your ship. If you set plans during your day, and you think that you're going to change your life, you know, based on just writing down your goals or you know, going to a quick little seminar or listening to a quick tape and you think you're going to change your life around, remember that phrase, remember that quote that we talked about before, that your unconscious is making your everyday decisions. Okay? That's huge. It is absolutely huge. It is all the beliefs and all the patterns and all of the experiences that you've had, and I mean including ones that are traumatic and ones at a very early age, under the age of 5 or 6, that end up steering our ship. But as you're asking, what can a person do now? In other words, what kind of advice would I give? Number one, before you go to sleep at night, ask yourself, did today go the way I wanted it to, did today go the way I wanted it to go? Yes or no? If not, imagine it how you would love it to go. Imagine it completely, over and over again. And before you go to sleep, just go to sleep with the feeling of it already fulfilled. That is absolutely imperative. Now, if you do some breathing exercises as you do that, you'll probably double or triple your effectiveness in doing this. And here's what I mean by breathing. Many years ago, a gentleman was doing an interview with me, and he said, Paul, what would you suggest as, you know, one of the top tips that you can give to people? And I said, they have to breathe. And he said, well, we already are breathing. Here's what I mean by breathing. Take a nice deep breath, okay? So let's do it right now. This time, take it again, but bring it down to your belly and hold it to a count of four. And then exhale. Now, if you sat and practiced that for about 3 or 4 minutes, there are several things that would happen. Number one, the overactive beta mind would begin to relax. Two, the body would begin to relax. In other words, the heartbeat would begin to normalize. The systolic or the diastolic blood pressure would begin to drop back into a normal pattern. Three, you get in touch with your inner self. And remember what we talked about before. It's the world of effects that we get caught up in. The world of cause that creates the world of effects. So if you begin and practice your breathing, okay, and you learn how to get into either an alpha or a theta state, and we'll talk more about that later. But an alpha state essentially is, I close my eyes, I tune in, I get centered. Then you do your creating your day. For those of you that have seen What the Bleep, you know, the movie is called What the Bleep Do We Know. If you haven't seen it, I highly suggest you go see it. When Joe Dispenza talks about I create my day, he knows how to do it, but teaching it is a whole different story. And I'm sure you've seen that with many of the people that you interview. Mm-hmm. Some of us do stuff that's so unconscious, Andy, that we don't even know how we do it. Does that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that goes for anybody. That can go either side of the fence, by the way. Either I'm unconsciously competent in something that I do really well, or I'm unconsciously competent in something that I do really poorly. Okay? Now, either way, the unconscious is doing the driving there. And we want it to do that in many cases. Okay? But in the way that that it causes a disservice, in other words, stress, or I'm not getting what I want, or, gee, I've done everything I could and nothing's been working for me, those are unconscious patterns that are steering people in the wrong direction. And all you have to do is, before you go to sleep at night, write down the way that you want it to go instead of the way that it went for the day. Focus in on that. Really let your imaginative powers come in. Really tune in. Do some of that deep breathing, okay? And really focus in and say, okay, the way that my day really went, in other words, how I rewrite it, is this way. And you tune into that, and you feel the feeling of it. What's the feeling that I would feel if my day did go the way that I wanted? You know, what's the feeling that I would feel if my company was absolutely at the point that it was, that I would love it to be? How would I feel if the client connections that I made today all went fantastic? The contracts closed, or I picked up new customers, that I made a new friend, that my relationship is more harmonic than it was than when I woke up in the morning. Okay? What's the feeling? That's the key. So if you're listening to this, write down the word. How would I feel if I knew this was already real now? In this moment, that's the key, Andy. Because this moment right now, as you hear these words, is the only moment we have. And if you hear my fingers snapping there, there's a moment. There's a moment. It's when we get caught up in the past, or when we get anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow, that's when you lose all your power. We lose our centeredness. That's when you lose who you really are, and you become either the wake behind the boat, okay, the past, or the don't know the way the wind's going to blow tomorrow. What am I going to do about that? Oh, God, you know, what happens if the storms hit? Which is all just fear, being sent out ahead of the boat instead of staying in the boat and having fun while you're driving it and going to the places that you want to go. So that's the first step I would do. I would recreate my day before I go to sleep at night. And whatever you do before you go to sleep at night is going to be sent through your subconscious in an even more powerful way than during the day. That's the number one skill. Number two is when you wake up in the morning, do that same exercise except picture your day already going the way you want. Focus it. Tune into it and say, you know what? Today is going to be an awesome day. I don't mean just motivationally, though, okay? Like Chinese food, it runs out in about 20 minutes, right? We've all experienced that. Okay, I mean with intent. So if you're writing notes down on, as you're listening to this, write the word intent. What is my intent for today? You know, how can I connect to my higher self, if you understand what that phrase means? If you don't, how can I connect to God, okay, the highest in me, in such a way that I can be a focus, a clear channel for good, for value for people, and myself? And you write that down, and then you tune in, and then you just kind of meditate on that for a while. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. Just see yourself and feel that already real in your day. Down to literally, Andy, every person that I've ever worked with, when they do that exercise, they astound themselves. It sounds so simple, but it has everything to do because it's an inside job. It's an inner game.
And it needs to be done consistently, right? I mean, you can't just do it one day and expect everything to change overnight.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Correct. Yeah, because the habits that we've sustained or that we've picked up took years to develop. You know that. Everybody knows that part. Back to your little analogy of when a person's in the book racks and they're looking for stuff and why the stuff isn't working is because we jump from book to book to book, from conversation, you know, like when you're listening to, and then you jump to, well, yeah, that Bauer guy said something about getting centered. Yeah, I heard that before. I'm going to go on to the next one now. And we never really stay true and focused. I don't mean never, but many of us jump from one subject to the next. No wonder we don't become masters at something, you know?
Yeah, it seems like just the whole concept of positive thinking, you know, if people think positive, that's just one aspect of it. And a lot of people actually will think positive just to kind of get through the day so they can settle with what their current situation is instead of being impatient and looking ahead to what they really want in life. I mean, you really want to be thankful for what you have, but at the same time, be always looking to that betterment of yourself, right?
Well, the only problem with positive thinking, Andy, is no amount of positive is ever going to cover up the negative, you know? And the way that plugs into terms of abundance consciousness, in other words, creating the money or the prosperity or the abundance in a person's life, is, it's an old quote by a prosperity teacher back in the 70s and 80s. His name is Jerry Gillies. And he said, no amount of money will ever cure a poverty consciousness. So we can use that analogy on something else. No amount of positive thinking is ever going to cover up the negative stuff that's on the inside. The myth of the personal growth motivational industry is that we think we're going to get all jazzed up and pumped up. The problem is, it doesn't last very long. We've all seen this. There's no faking the game of inner growth. Okay, you can't fake it till you make it. That just doesn't work. What works is when you tune in on how you really feel. And if you're feeling down or depressed or angry or whatever lower vibrational feeling that you're feeling, the more that you allow yourself to feel it and then you just decide to let it go, you'll be making huge strides. But if you try to force that feeling away, what do you think it's going to do?
Oh, it's just going to, it might be gone for a little while, but it'll come back. Right?
It'll come back. It'll do one of two things. Number one, it'll create more inner immediate force. In other words, it's just going to create more suppressed feelings. Or two, when it does ever rear its ugly head again, it'll be like a basketball that was pushed underwater. And over time, if you let the basketball go, what happens?
Oh, it'll pop way out of the water.
Yes, exactly. Equal and an opposite reaction. You know, that's the law of... I believe that's not the law of thermodynamics, but it's the law of energy. Whatever you push against, it will push against you. So the positive thinking stuff doesn't work for many people unless they've taken care of their inside. their inner game first. Then if you decide to do a vibe switch or a flip switch or whatever terms, you know, that you people have learned, in other words, okay, I just caught a negative thought there. Yeah, who do I think I am? Oh, well, you know, I'd like to be rich, but this part of me says it doesn't want to be. You can turn that in the moment. But if that's been your constant thought for a long time and the feeling attached to it is, I feel miserable, there's a bigger issue there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's, oh, I just feel a little bit down, that's no big deal, then there's no real issue. And then a quote-unquote positive thought will probably serve the person. But if there's an underlying, deeper feeling of, I really feel like I've been gypped by the universe. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I really feel like I've did everything I possibly could, and life has still forsaken me. That's a much different issue than trying to think positive on something that you got a little bit of bad news on the phone and you feel better. You know, there's a whole different element involved there.
Well, it's almost like you were waiting for it to happen. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, Paul, there are probably so many more aspects to this that we should be getting into, and but I really appreciate everything that you've told us, and I'm sure that anyone really listening to this today, you've made an impact and quite possibly changed some lives. So I appreciate you coming on with us here.
You're very welcome, Andy.
Paul Bauer here at Audio Motivation.